Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. Join Dave and his guests now as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
Hey, from Los Angeles, and usually from New York and Manhattan, a big L.A. welcome and a big Apple welcome to my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, CaregiverDave.com. And our lovely co-host, Adrian Gruberg, from the Caregiver Space, is not going to make it today. So it's just me and my guest, Mark. So anyway, we're coming to you live and on demand 24/7 on 16 global audio and video platforms, including iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo, Stitcher Radio, Blog Talk Radio. Let me take a breath. Mixcloud, Listen Notes, Blueberry, Player FM, Podcast.com, VIP Internet Radio, Facebook Live, HealthyLife.net, and also at our caregiver site, CaregiverDave.com. And we're proud to be voted number two best podcast out of the top six caregiving podcasts by Caring.com. And we have an exciting interview planned for you today. We have Mark. And Mark, help me with that last name again. I knew I was going to have trouble.
Yeah, no problem. Michalik.
And Mark is a coach, and he has survived traumatic brain injury. And he is going to help all of you people out there who have TBI how to deal with it and how you can survive with it, just like him. So now you can, I want to take this moment and thank last week's guest, caregiver to his late wife, Bob Harrison, and ambassador to the Caregiver Space, a great guest. You can watch or listen to that interview and all our interviews on all our membership website, CaregiverDave.com, or any of our other 16 global networks that I mentioned earlier. All right, enough of that. Our guest today, Mark Michalik. Did I say it right?
Very good.
Really?
Yeah.
Not just being kind?
No, it was good.
All right, well, as I said, Mark survived a traumatic brain injury in the spring of 2012. He eventually found the resources he needed to improve his recovery, and he wanted to help others do the same, kind of like I did. When, you know, if we can learn by each other's mistakes, we're ahead of the game. So he now works as a recovery coach to help survivors and caregivers find the resources to survive and thrive. Two great words for caregivers and for survivors. And he does it through the recovery journey. He works with caregivers to help them gain clarity, overcome guilt, and take care. So, Mark, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you on.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dan. glad to be able to join you.
Yeah, so why don't you take a minute or two and introduce yourself? I like to ask my guests, just who the heck is Mark Michalik, and why was he put on this earth?
Well, I had a traumatic brain injury in 2012. It was my 22nd motorcycle career. Not the smartest decision I ever made, and I woke up in the hospital with a traumatic brain injury, and it was a really long road. And there are better resources now, but it's still hard for a lot of people to find what they need. And as I feel really fortunate in my recovery, and I really want to be able to help others and help be able to give back and help them, help survivors and caregivers be able to navigate this process. Because not everyone experiences the same outcome.
Sure, absolutely. I know some people who have traumatic brain injury, and they're all different. I even know a great guy whose specialty is traumatic brain injury, Dr. Antoine Chevalier. He works at the White House, and he has this special technique that he has a patent on that seems to work really, really well. It's almost called acupuncture for the brain. He does electronic stimulation in certain areas of the brain. And he has had amazing results, not only with traumatic brain injury, but with anxiety, with addictions, depression, even autism, and a bunch of other list of disabilities as well. And so I will put you in touch with him, because he's looking for his research project, retired football players who have traumatic brain injury.
Very good.
In his study, and I mean, it's hard to find a retired football player who doesn't have traumatic brain injury because they're just, you know, the brain wasn't made to be shook inside that cranium, you know, called the skull. And when it does, with concussions or anything, I mean, there are symptoms. And like you said, some of the symptoms vary and differ. So yeah. Let's get started. What can caregivers do when they feel burned out?
Yeah, this is something that obviously comes up a lot. As a caregiver, you're thrown into it. You don't have any training. It's all on the job. And you arrive at the hospital with your loved one, and you leave a caregiver, and you have to figure that out. Yeah. And at the very beginning, everything's new. There are household responsibilities change, and just it's so much. And so something that someone can do when they feel burned out is, first off, to give themselves permission to take care of themselves. Mm. Sometimes that's really hard because caregivers feel like it's all of their main responsibility is taking care of their loved one, mm-hmm. but they put themselves on the back burner. And in the short term, that can be okay to just get yourself through. But long term, if you're looking at an extended caregiving situation, you need to make sure that you are filling yourself up. Otherwise, you will eventually give less quality care to your loved one, just because you're depleted yourself.
So tell us about your traumatic brain injury. How did it happen? How long ago? And how you're doing now? And who was caring for you?
Yeah, it was 2012, so it's almost 7 years now. Mm-hmm. It was a motorcycle accident. I was riding a friend's dirt bike without a helmet. It was brand new. And I had no experience on a dirt bike. I shouldn't have been on it. And I ran into the side of a concrete building. And nobody saw me hit. From what they can tell, my head hit the gas tank. And I had a temporal skull fracture on my front right side and some bleeding in there. And I fell back off the bike. I hit my head and had some bleeding on the back of my head from where I hit it off the pavement.
So how old were you?
32. Almost 32.
Wow. 32. So were you married or just living at home?
I was single at the time. I was living in Orange County. I was living in Yorba Linda at the time. Mm-hmm. And my parents are in Pennsylvania. They came out immediately to take care of me for a few weeks. And I was functional enough that if you didn't know, you wouldn't have known anything that I had a brain injury.
Really? What was really going on inside your brain that caused you to struggle?
Yeah, it was memory issues, short-term memory, which is very common with traumatic brain injury, even concussion. A lot of cognitive function, so organization. At the time, I was working as a project manager for a construction company, so a lot of organization and planning, sequential thinking, problem solving, all of that stuff was affected. And, you know, when you're dealing with large sums of money and contracts, your memory is important to keep track of everything. And there were, my boss was extremely gracious and allowing me to continue to work when I don't really think I should have been. I know I wasn't making him much money. I almost costed him quite a bit of money on a few occasions. But, my caregivers were kind of my coworkers and my roommates, really.
Oh, so you didn't live at home.
Right. I didn't live at home. There was a period of time, 3 or 4 months after my injury, where I was really getting frustrated. Mm-hmm. And I almost just threw in the towel. And in a weekend, my roommates had gone on a trip, and I almost just packed up all my stuff and drove cross country to Pennsylvania. But I decided to call a good friend at the last minute, and he kind of talked me off the ledge. But it's really tough, and when it comes to brain injury, not all doctors are created equal. You know, even neurologists that you would think are brain doctors and should all be up to date on what's going on, there's a lot of, even just in the specialty of neurology, there's a lot of different specialties and stuff. And so the doctors that saw me in the hospital were great for the acute care and keeping me alive and making sure my cranial pressure didn't get too high. But as far as long-term and giving me answers and solutions to benefit with life and to be able to improve, they didn't have the answers that I needed. It took almost 8 months to find a doctor out of St. Jude that was able to help me out. And St. Jude Hospital in Orange County. He really helped me out and steered me in the right direction.
Were you able to connect on Facebook Live to simulcast this?
Yes.
Oh, good, good.
Yes. Thank
Glad
you.
To hear that. So, how did you get involved with helping caregivers, or are you really helping survivors? Because I noticed on your website you have a spot for caregivers and a spot for survivors, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. It I kind of fell into it. When I started writing, I was writing mostly for survivors. But as I wrote more articles, I started getting lots of feedback from caregivers about how helpful it is to see the perspective of someone that's been through a brain injury. And I'm very clear, you know, not all brain injuries are the same, and you can't expect the same outcome for everyone. But there are some similarities that can at least be appreciated, for the most part, from brain injury to brain injury.
Yeah.
And so helping caregivers was something I kind of fell into. I started getting a lot of feedback from them. So I started
caregivers who were caring for traumatic brain injury?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh.
And so I love working with survivors, and I love working with caregivers. It's two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's a lot of the same processes and the same changes happen to both, and they process them differently, and kind of helping them to be able to come together, and it's really rewarding.
Sometimes it seems that TBI is contagious, that the caregiver will start exhibiting the same symptoms that the survivor is. Is that just kind of a weird occurrence?
Sometimes
there's some science behind it.
I don't know. In my experience, the memory issues sometimes will happen to the caregiver, and I think mostly that comes from overwhelm, at least from what I've been able to see. If a caregiver can improve their self-care, it can help them to kind of leave some of the stress and some of the pressure and help themselves out.
Yeah, and I also found out from my friend, Dr. Chevalier, that many people have traumatic brain injuries that they don't even realize they have, because you know, kids are always bumping their heads, or in football, you know, or wrestling and whatever. I remember one time my daughter, I think I dropped a hammer on her head one time. and you know, you wonder if that has affected her. What do you know about unknown traumatic brain injuries? Is it common? Does that almost everybody have one?
It wouldn't surprise me. I haven't done a lot of reading on that subject, but you know, sometimes when you're talking about children, and we say, "Oh, well, Johnny got a concussion," you know, well, a concussion is a traumatic brain injury, and there are much better resources now to diagnose and to help Johnny recover, you know, through school and athletic activities. But you know,
so Johnny should have had an MRI or a CAT scan or what?
Yeah, there's some good studies coming out. There's some good studies coming out, revamping concussion approaches for children, both in the acute setting of scans that they might need, as well as helping them regroup to get back to school and to get back to life.
So. Concussion, the word concussion has been around for decades and decades. I mean, even when I was little, I knew what a concussion was, but Traumatic brain injury, that's kind of a relatively new term, isn't it? Is it the same thing as a concussion, or is it different?
A concussion is a type of brain injury. It's what we would call a mild traumatic brain injury. But not all mild traumatic brain injuries are concussions. You know, that it kind of depends on how the brain moves and the damage that's done and what happens. But traumatic brain injury, the term has been around in the medical community for a long time, but in the last 5 or 10 years, it's gained a lot more traction, especially in the last 5 years. Since my injury, there are many more resources now.
I see.
Great Facebook groups to help out. It's become a lot more, there's a lot more awareness around it.
So getting back to caregivers, what can caregivers do to find peace and energy? Those are two rare commodities in a caregiver's life. As a caregiver myself, I know.
Right. So one of the things that I work with caregivers on is a self-care plan. I do that pretty frequently. And so we look at really what are their responsibilities, what are the demands on their time, which are quite large, but then also what gives them fulfillment, what gives them peace. And that can come from a few different areas. A big one that I look at a lot is what are you doing in your free time? Are you doing things that will help renew you? And it depends on the age of the person, but two big things that are kind of the go-to for most people nowadays is TV or social media. And, you know,
is that good or bad?
Well, it depends on what your goal is. If being on social media is helping you, or you're helping you feel connected, that it can be a great thing. But if it's your default activity because it's what's convenient, you end up spending your time there, but you're not getting a lot back out of it.
Right.
And so I look at things, what gives you fulfillment? Does making music give you fulfillment? Does making art give you fulfillment? Yeah. Does reading give you fulfillment? Does writing give you fulfillment? And it can be difficult to help them take the effort when they're already exhausted to begin with, to go to do that. But over time, as they make those changes to those activities, it can be very helpful.
Yeah, my wife, for example, you know, she had a stroke, and so oxygen was deprived from a part of her brain for over 3 hours, which caused brain injury. Probably some of the same symptoms that traumatic brain injury would exhibit, but hers is severe. She cannot speak anymore. She has something called global aphasia. She knows what she wants to say, but she just can't remember how to move her mouth and her lips and her tongue to say the words. She knows what she wants to write, but she can't always remember how to spell the word. And she definitely can't write or speak in sentences. You know, she maybe knows a dozen words. She knows more than that, but on demand, it's hard to get those words out of her mouth. But I forgot what I was going to – my point in saying that. Oh, that everyone is different. I know a lot of people who had strokes. No two strokes are alike because in her case – it almost looks like a hand over her brain, the dark areas that were affected by, you know,
really?
The arteries that didn't get the, and everyone is different. Some people can speak, but they can't understand, you know, what have you. So it's a very interesting problem, and I would assume that having a traumatic brain injury, also no two are alike, and so there are some similarities, but. I think before we ask the next question, I think we should take a break because I hate you to get into something and then we have to cut you short. So we are going to take a break, so don't go away. We will be right back.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Just hear what best-selling author Lynn Barrington has to say about it. If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. Available everywhere.
And we're back with Mark...
Michalik.
Oh, there you go. Michalik. Are you Italian?
Polish.
Polish. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what I want to talk about now is, first of all, it's so strange having a survivor have it so together that now the survivor is helping the caregiver, because for a long time the caregiver was helping the survivor. So you're making full circle there. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Because you don't seem like you have a traumatic brain injury.
In that aspect, I've been very fortunate. It was almost years, really, until I felt like I was kind of back on point at mm-hmm. work and in relationships and things in general, but which is very short term for a lot of brain injury survivors. I know I'm very fortunate in that aspect, but
So what have you done in order to improve?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Because there might be some caregivers who are caring for TBI, and you can give them some advice as how they can help their loved one.
One of the biggest things that I did at the very beginning, and probably in the first 6 to 8 months, was I didn't want to go home and live with my parents. And the only thing I could think to do was to just figure it out. And maybe that sounds...
Be independent?
Yeah, I wanted to be independent. And maybe that sounds...
No, that's great motivation.
Right,
I think that's what was motivating you.
And so I just had to figure stuff out. And so I had to come up with ways to hack my memory. And so I read a bunch of different, like, to-do list books. Getting Things Done, Gary Allen. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but I read that book. I implemented that, and then I realized that the exact book didn't work, so I had to try different things, and I tried different apps to figure out how to get my memory to work. For problem solving and sequential thinking and stuff for work projects, in a construction company, you have lots of blueprints sitting around, so I was able to take big sheets of paper and kind of draw out my thought process, because I couldn't hold it all in my brain, so I had to get it out someplace where I could see it.
Use the artistic side of the brain.
Yeah, and that was really helpful. That process of trying and failing and trying and failing and trying mm-hmm. and failing, you know, each step was kind of incremental progress to get me to something that worked a little bit better.
Yeah, baby steps.
Baby steps, and that's, I think that's what kind of got me there. I wasn't always successful, and I had to try different things. One of the biggest frustrations I had was personality change. Before my injury, I was always really mellow. I didn't have anger issues, and then after my injury, all of a sudden, I had this temper that would just go off at anything, and it was worse in the beginning. It's gotten better now.
Yeah, and stroke victims have that same problem of personality change. If they were a nice church-going person, all of a sudden they're cursing, or vice versa, mm-hmm. and it's just something chemically in the brain.
Yeah, like stuff gets shaken up and stuff isn't talking right to each other.
Cocktail.
And so with that pre-injury, I would always manage stress by exercise. I'd go out for a run and, blow off stress. It'd be great. I could clear my head. And then post-injury, I couldn't run for like 8 to 12 weeks till some other broken bones healed. Oh. I went out for a run, and I thought, this is going to be great. I can blow off all this stress. And the runner's high lasted for 20 minutes. I was so disappointed. I was heartbroken. And that was the hardest part, I think, of my injury, was learning to manage that anger. Eventually, when I saw the doctor, He helped put me on a mild mood stabilizer that took the edge off, and so that combined with exercise has really been what's helped a lot.
Yeah, this is good for multiple sclerosis, the cognitive type as well. They have very similar issues that they're dealing with. So so to summarize, you got to want to get better. You can't just be depressed and stay in bed and feel sorry for yourself and what was me. You got to be motivated. In your case, you wanted to get out of the house of your parents, which is a great motivation.
I wanted to stay out of the house of my parents.
Stay out of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes it's depressing for an adult child to move back into the home, and that's a depressing thing anyway. It's like, oh, my gosh. When I left, you know, I was going to conquer the world, and now, you know, whatever happened, happened, and now I'm back, and so you want to get over that. Then read, you know, and do mental exercises, what you call hacking. Do you recommend, like, crossword puzzles or things that make, you know, very things that they recommend that Alzheimer's and dementia patients should do, or either before to prevent it or during, you know, while they've got it? Anything like that? Would that help?
Yeah, all of that stuff is really great. Anything to get your brain working.
Brain games.
Brain games, jigsaw puzzles. There's the website.
There's a website out. I can't remember the name of it, though. Yes, Luminosity.
So I did that for a while, and I wasn't really consistent. I would do it for like a month, and then I'd go away for a few months. But it's really interesting. I kept the stats that they do on you, and over like the year after my injury, I can see that I got better as I.
I need to do that. I started to do that, and I just hate those kind of games. I hate jigsaw puzzles because it's so hard, you know. My memory isn't great, so I need to do that. Thank you for the reminder. I'm gonna write myself a note. Luminosity. .com. Anyway, and then try different tricks, like what you said, using the artistic side, or, you know, the left side or the right side of the brain. One is logic, one is artistic. Sometimes when my wife just can't write a thing down, I'll say, well, draw me a picture. And sometimes that helps, because different part of the brain.
Yeah, very good.
So together,
hey, no, just on one thing you mentioned about, like, you have to want it, is sometimes it doesn't matter how much you want it. And there's
you could even just want it a little bit,
right? I'm involved in a lot of brain injury Facebook groups, and I am amazed at the creative approaches that people will come up with to work around their injury.
Really?
And of different strategies that they'll come up with for whatever their mental or physical challenges. And But sometimes, even when you come up with that workaround, it doesn't mean you get to go back to work. It doesn't mean that you get to – that you don't have to live with your parents.
Yeah.
And that's some of the other work that I do about how do you approach this new reality and turn it into a constructive thing, because it is – I mean,
without beating yourself up.
Right, you know, and – or if you're a caregiver, how do you work with your loved one that is now facing this change, this loss of independence?
Yeah.
You know, and so – I really agree that incremental progress and trying and failing and trying and failing is a very valuable process, but there is some reality to what point will you recover. And as the survivor, you're the only one that really knows that.
Well, that's a good place to take another break, so don't go away. We will be right back talking with Mark.
Sounds good.
We are a community of caregivers that understands and supports you wherever you are in your journey. We are a place to connect with other caregivers, but more importantly, a place to get practical, actionable help. There are lots of ways for you to get support. First of all, you can download our welcome pack. This will get you started on your Thrive journey. Next, you can ask and get answers to your questions by posting them here in our private Facebook groups. You can also get live online support by attending one of our live weekly Connect webinars. You can get practical, actionable advice by listening to our weekly podcast. You can hear and read other stories about other caregivers' experiences. Plus, add your own in our weekly Share Your Story forum, posted every Tuesday in the Facebook group, you can access essential resources and download practical Thrive Solutions Packs, all of which are geared to help you thrive as a caregiver. You get lifetime access to all of our resources. Again, we're here to support you and help you thrive and to enjoy your life as a caregiver. And remember, this is a place to get hope, not just cope.
And we're back with Mark Michalek and me, Dave Nassani, the caregiver's caregiver. And we're talking about traumatic brain injury. And let's change the topic a little to back to caregivers. What experience have you found of caregivers of traumatic brain injury? What type of things frustrate the caregivers? Are they frustrated for their loved one? Are they impatient sometimes? I mean, what's the dynamic going on between the caregiver and the TBI patient?
So there's a broad spectrum of what can happen, and a lot of that comes down to how the caregiver is kind of processing this change.
Uh-huh.
There's a grieving process that a caregiver goes through as they are adapting to this change, and there are a lot of feelings, a lot of strong feelings that come through with that. One of those feelings is anger. Another one, another stage of grief is depression.
Yeah.
And both of those two feelings, can really play a lot off of how the caregiver is feeling towards their loved one. And there can be resentment. There can be irritation. There can be feeling of disbelief that the brain injury isn't even real and that the person is making it up. And I experienced that a little bit where I looked once I healed and I had a broken wrist, and once that came off, there was nothing to tell anybody that there was anything wrong.
Yeah.
And so I experienced it there. I experienced that, and that's very common for caregivers to have when they can't see anything physically wrong with their loved one. Is the brain injury real?
Yeah.
And then there's the other side where they totally get that the brain injury is real. They know that their loved one wouldn't be acting this way unless something was going on, and they are totally in their corner and doing everything that they can. And those people that kind of get to that corner faster tend to be the ones that go through the grieving process a little easier and kind of come out on the other side to acceptance, to be like, this is where we're at. Where do we go from here?
And I would imagine that when the survivor is a spouse of the caregiver, there's even a more dynamic change and maybe more impatience, or maybe do you know any spouses of caregivers who are suffering from TBI?
Yeah, it's all of a sudden.
It changes the marriage, huh?
It changes the marriage quite a bit, and I mean, it depends which spouse was injured.
Yeah.
If it's
worse for the woman or worse for the man?
It's that's kind of a situation by situation. If the wife is the one with a TBI, then the husband has child care responsibilities that he has to take over, and figuring out the kids' routine and the poor wife with the brain injury is trying to help get the husband up to speed, but
they're both frustrated.
And if it's the husband, there's a lot of times financial responsibilities that go with that, if it's a situation where both spouses are working, there's financial implication no matter who gets hurt,
right? And also, it could be just add another child, because now my husband, sometimes I have to treat him like a child.
Right.
But what percentage of the survivors are able to work, and what percentage, can't?
You're one
of the fortunate ones.
Right. To be honest, I don't know that number off the top of my head. But I know that there are a lot that can't, or they have to go back to reduced duty, or...
Yeah.
a part-time job, or, you know, greatly for people that were professionals before, you know, working with finances or company management or whatever, are now only able to do minimum wage jobs because of fatigue, because of cognitive challenges. It's quite common.
Yeah. So what can a spouse do to help deal with all those changes that are going on? You have a recipe for – I wish it was that easy, right?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I really suggest to my clients is to really do some reading on the grieving process, because you can't necessarily speed up the grieving process, but being aware of it can give you some – appreciation and some grace for yourself of what you're feeling, because all of that stuff is perfectly normal. You as a caregiver are processing a very unfavorable change to your life, to your family, to your marriage, and so I really recommend that a lot to my clients, just to get some education on that and kind of be aware of where you're at.
Yeah, it really helps to know that you're in something called denial, you know, and that you're kind of rejecting reality, and hopefully you don't stay there for a long time, otherwise you become delusional. And it's nice to know that you're depressed, you know, because usually a depressed person doesn't know they're depressed. Or, you know, anger. The anger is a big one. But, yeah.
And sometimes for a caregiver, understanding that process for themselves, they can appreciate that their loved one is going through the grieving process as well.
And, yeah, they both do. And that's why caregiver support groups are so helpful, because you say, oh, my gosh, I met somebody who's feeling what I'm feeling. And they share stories and this is normal. It's normal for me to be feeling this way. Okay, I'm not crazy or whatever.
Right.
And I assume you encourage caregivers to find a caregiver group and traumatic brain injury people to find a traumatic brain injury group. They're very helpful, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They're extremely helpful. Just kind of normalizing what you're feeling and what you're experiencing, and to know that you're not crazy, it's really helpful.
Yeah. So, you know, I tell caregivers all the time, it's kind of my tagline, you know, don't just survive caregiving, because that's not a good place to be. You know, it's like just a desperate situation. You know, when somebody invited me to a caregiver support group, I didn't even know what it was, but I was desperate, so I went, because anything had to be better than what I was doing.
Yeah.
And so the other part of my tagline is, don't just survive, but to thrive. So what do you think would help caregivers strive in stressful and situations like that? Well, and even the traumatic brain injury patient, how would they both survive?
Yeah. How would they
not
both
survive?
Thrive?
I'm sorry. Thrive is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
We don't want them to survive. We want them to thrive.
Yeah. So there are a couple of things. A big thing is kind of reinventing the relationship. So if it's a parent and a child, or a spouse caring for the other spouse, is to reinvent the relationship. The expectations that were there cannot be there at least for now.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a group process where you sit down and you say, well, maybe the caregiver asks, well, what can you put into the relationship? And the survivor says what he can put into the relationship, and the caregiver says, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And they have to decide together that's going to be okay. And having that conversation and making it detailed and making it real helps both of them kind of acknowledge, kind of reset expectations and say, okay, this is what we're doing now. And as things progress, you know, every few months, they should sit down and revisit that conversation. Is the survivor capable of doing more?
Right.
Is the survivor capable of doing less? And do they have to readjust what their plan is going to be moving forward? And so where relationships are so affected like that, having that conversation can really help them to thrive long term and not just kind of survive each of them in their own corner without talking to each other.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take another break, so don't go away. We will be right back with Mark Michalik.
Dave Nassani, the Caregiver's Caregiver, has just released his sixth book entitled It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. It was specifically written for caregivers who know they should be putting their needs first, but just don't know how. Dave is the sole caregiver to his wife, Charlene, since 1996. He knows firsthand what caregivers are going through, because he is one. And he now speaks all across the country, offering caregivers his incredible caregiver support package. Even the airlines tell us that in the event of an emergency, to put your oxygen mask on first, before you help your child with their mask. They know that those who don't heed their advice often black out, thus becoming unable to help either themselves or their child. And caregivers are exactly the same way. It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. Will help caregivers who are neglecting their sleep, diet, and social life, and learn to put their needs first. Pick up your copy today, or buy one for your special caregiver. On sale everywhere. And at caregiverscaregiver.com.
And we're back. This is Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver radio show, and with my guest, Mark Michalik. I'm Dave Nassani, caregiverdave.com. And we're talking about traumatic brain injury. And how can we constructively communicate with the loved one who has the brain injury? Because sometimes communication is rough, isn't it?
Yeah, where there are personality changes and there's a lot of you know, friction and tempers are flared really easy, and that's not
that
necessarily
like
yeah, it's not necessarily just from the survivor either. You know, nerves are kind of tense on both sides.
Sure, impatience.
And so something we can do to constructively communicate is to try and make it as non-confrontational as you can, which can be really it can be difficult when the other person gets flared up really easy. But being able to sit down and say, "Sweetie, this I need help here. Things aren't working out."
Yeah.
And being able to talk together, and as the caregiver, you know what's not working well. And so something to do is to maybe come up with some questions beforehand to help your loved one kind of come to that realization on their own.
Yeah.
And that's not 100% foolproof. There are some brain injuries that affect a part of the brain of self-awareness.
Yeah.
And when that's affected, it becomes much more difficult to be able to have those conversations, especially between spouses where we feel more at liberty to express some of those rough feelings. You know, in situations where that's happening, if there is a trusted person outside of the family that the survivor relates to, sometimes you can help bring them in to have some of those conversations.
Objective third party.
Right, and. If you trust your doctor and you have a good doctor that's helping you, sometimes they can do that because you know the doctor's objective, and sometimes you view or you know we view them as as an authority figure, so we're not as likely to push back as much.
Yeah,
those are a couple of things.
What's behind you? I don't know if you did that on purpose, but that looks like a nice little exercise or a way to organize your day. Right.
Yeah. So this
you didn't
is actually
plan that, right?
And I didn't. This is for a speech I'm giving in a few weeks. Brain injury.
So this is how you give your speeches, with a little post-it notes.
Yep. It's great for brainstorming. Just stick post-it notes on the wall, and then once you get done, sort them out to what they go to.
Great idea. You could probably use it for other things as well.
Yep. Yeah, I live and die by post-it notes. I've got notes all over my desk.
So how does the grieving process play into a life of the caregiver? Because, first of all, I think Elizabeth Roth Keebler has five. Some people have six or seven more. Some people combine the two. So start with the first, and I'm assuming you use like five or more.
Yeah, five.
So talk denial. About them real briefly, each one, and what's the best, what the symptoms are, and what's the best way to get out of it.
Yeah, sure. So denial is the first one where you come home from the hospital with your loved one, or you're sitting there by his bedside, and you don't want to believe that this is reality now, and you want to pretend that it's a bad dream, and you're going to wake up from it. And at some point, the reality we move from denial into anger as kind of the reality of it sets in, and we begin to realize, oh my goodness, all of these changes that have taken place, and all of the changes that will take place as we adjust to what's just happened. We become very angry. It's common for people to become angry at God, you know, if they believe in God and. Or at the universe, or whatever it is, and it's, you know, it's very, you know, so we move, we settle into anger as kind of the reality of it sets in. Once we move out of anger, we move into bargaining, where we say, look, I will never yell at my spouse again. If they just get better, I will treat them so good. You know, we start trying to make deals with ourselves or with God, you know, to hit the undo button, you know.
Right.
And then from bargaining, we move into depression as the weight of it and the reality is, wow, you know, I can't believe this. And common for people to go into kind of a shutdown mode, to stick their head in the sand, and they just become overwhelm is very common here, as they're just. The weight of it settles on them. And then as you work through depression, you arrive at acceptance, as the reality of it is, this is what life is. Where do I go from here? A lot of time in the brain injury community, we call that that'll be referred to as a new normal.
New normal, yeah.
And sometimes that phrase, the new normal, will have kind of some different approaches to it. Some people will say, no, I'm never going to accept it. Well, acceptance isn't, yay, I'm glad this happened. Acceptance is, this is where I'm at and where do I go?
Yeah.
And in my particular situation, that's what it was for me of, well, this is what it is now. I can't just stop. I got
to
go somewhere.
What helped you to get to acceptance? Is that the hardest one to get to?
I think so. At the time that it happened, I didn't know the grieving process, and it was tough. And something important here is that it's not like a linear thing where you just like drop down. Is like you bounce back and forth, you know. And you know, there are some days that even in acceptance, you know, in my situation for years now, and overall I'm happy. Sometimes I do think, well, you know, I go back to. You know, I think, what if, you know, or what would things have been like if it wouldn't have happened? And,
No, I get it. Well, I can't believe how fast this hour has gone. Why don't you share how someone can get a hold of you if they want to get involved in your coaching or any other reason, just talk or whatever?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Dave. So, my website is recoveringfromtbi.com. recoveringfromtbi.com, and that'll take you to my homepage. There are articles there. There are a couple of buttons, as Dave mentioned, for caregivers and survivors. It will take you to some of my best resources, whichever side of the brain injury coin you're on. You can follow me on Twitter at recoverfromtbi, recoverfromtbi. And if it's okay with you, Dave, I'd like to give something to your listeners. If somebody's interested and they want to reach out to me and they're curious about the coaching session, I'd like to offer a 30% discount on any of my packages to any of your listeners.
Coaching packages?
Yes. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, coaching is important. And how long have you been coaching now?
About 2.5 years.
Well, good for you.
Thank you.
Have you seen a lot of people get better and success stories, etc.?
Yeah, success is depending on the injury, and I consider a success if you can help a survivor or a caregiver kind of adjust their mindset and to be able to and be more fulfilled in what they're doing.
Yeah.
And you know, I have seen survivors make improvements, and I've seen caregivers be able to adjust their approach, and it's been you know, that it's been fulfilling to them.
Yeah. Well, and if anybody wants to find out more about Caregiver Dave, then just go to my website, caregiverdave.com, and we've got everything there. It's one-stop shopping. We have coaching programs just to help caregivers to thrive and not only survive. So thank you again, Mark, for coming on the show. We really appreciate it, and we'll see everybody next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
David Nassani.
Best-selling author Dave Nassani.
Dave Nassani is a best-selling author.
Mr. Dave Nassani.
Thank you. So you're needed.
I am needed.
You are very much needed.
The woman I loved had suffered a massive stroke.
Yes. They tell you in the event of an emergency, oxygen mask will drop. Yes. Put your mask on first. Before you help your loved one with their mask.
For the next 2 years, our lives had become a living hell.
Everyone has one of these. It's called a cell phone. You turn it on, you punch in your number. Hello, Mom. I need help. Grandma's driving me crazy.
I realize there are so many other caregivers out there who are hurting and feeling lost and alone. And I didn't want them to hurt anymore.
So now I host a popular iTunes podcast, The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Yeah. And I even shared the stage with Suzanne Summers at Harvard.
Come and join our community of caregivers. Let us love on you. Let us support you.
Dave is an amazing man. I was in tears when I heard his story.
Dave is really my idol because he created something for caretakers. And I was a caretaker for my father.
Every caregiver's life is a love story. Let me help you make that love story one of hope and triumph. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani.